story of Zacchaeus that Adam read for us a moment ago for our scripture reading is a very familiar story. Many of you, like me, heard it when you were a child by your mom or dad or a grandparent. And it's a wonderful illustration of the kind of Savior that we have. In the same chapter, Luke chapter 19, verse 10, Jesus said this about himself. He said, "For the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost." And if you want an illustration of the kind of Savior we have, all you got to do is go back up to the first six verses in Luke chapter 19 and read the story of Zacchaeus. We as a people and we as an individual did not go looking for God. God came looking for us. And he came for one purpose, to save us. To save us. To save us from Satan, to save us from ourselves, to save us from the judgment of God, to save us from an eternity apart from him, to save us from hell. And I'm glad we got a Savior that came looking for us for the one purpose, to save us. This morning, I don't need to tell you that are familiar with the story, Zacchaeus was a sinner. We read in these first six chapters that he was chief among the publicans, the tax collectors, and that he was rich. Now, that tells us a couple things, and you don't need to look at it, but down in verse 9, Jesus reminds us that Zacchaeus was a Jew. So here was a Jew that was working for the Romans, and the Romans were those that had the Jews in submission or captivity at this time. They were a conquering people, and the Jews hated the Romans. Many of the Jews wanted to overthrow them and get their liberty back. And any of the Jews that joined up with the Romans like Zacchaeus had was a traitor. I mean, his fellow countrymen considered him a traitor because he went to work for the despicable Romans. And the fact that he was rich means that not only was he a traitor, but that he took advantage of his office. Because if you were a tax collector back in that time, you had to first of all collect what the Romans wanted, but if you wanted to add something onto that, you could do it and then put it in your pocket. And the tax collectors that were rich back in that time did exactly that. They collected what the Romans wanted, but then they added onto it to line their own pockets. So here was a Jewish tax collector for the Romans that was a cheat. And if you went to any of his countrymen, they would tell you that he was a despicable person. You want an example of a sinner? They would say, look at Zacchaeus. Because not only is he a traitor to his country, but he cheats his own people out of their wealth. Now, I don't mean to offend anybody this morning, but I'll just tell you, all of us here this morning, every single one of us can identify with Zacchaeus. Because we're all sinners. Now, I know some of you are saved sinners, and I'm a saved sinner, but I'm still a sinner. And this morning, I want you to realize that every single one of us here this morning, we can identify with Zacchaeus because we're sinners. If we would strip away all the veneer that we put on ourselves, and if we would lay open our hearts and our minds, and we would look at ourselves honestly, if we would look at ourselves like God sees us, and compare ourselves not to somebody else, but to the perfection of God in the person of Jesus Christ, then every single person, I don't care who you are, I don't care how moral you are, I don't care how good you are, and I know there's a lot of good moral people in this room, but I want to tell you something, when Jesus looks at our goodness, and when Jesus looks at our morality, he says, in my sight, it's all filthy rags. All of our righteousnesses, all of our goodness that we can offer up to him are as filthy rags. And in God's sight, we are as wretched and despicable as Zacchaeus was because we're all sinners. And again, this may be your first time here. This may be your second time here that you may not have come very many times. And you say, boy, what a mean preacher you are to call me a sinner. I'm not calling you a sinner. It's the word of God that's calling you a sinner. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I mean, I'm glad you're here, and I don't mean to offend you one bit. But in order to get the rest of my message, you got to get this first point. Every single one of us in God's sight are just as wicked as Zacchaeus was. The Bible, that's why the Bible can say, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's why it can refer to every single one of us as sinners. And every single one of us needs to see ourselves as God sees us. A sinner who deserves not reward, but judgment. A sinner who deserves not heaven, but hell. A sinner who deserves not commendation, but condemnation. A sinner who deserves not the love that Brother Wendell sang about a moment ago. Not the grace, not the mercy of God, but the punishment of God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death. And so every single one of us this morning are like Zacchaeus. Now, what happens? Zacchaeus hears about Jesus. That's the way it always starts. That's the way it started with us. The Bible says, so faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And so he heard about Jesus. And he says, I want to see him. I want to see him. I want to see Jesus. Now, don't anybody answer out loud this morning, because I don't want to hear your answer. But why are you here this morning? Why did you come? Did you come out of curiosity because you just wanted to see what goes on in this place? Did you come out of duty because it's Sunday, and because it's Sunday you feel like you had to come to church? Maybe you had relatives visiting and you say, well, I got to go to church so they'll go with me. Or maybe you're visiting your relatives and your relative says, I'm going to church, and you felt obligated to go with them. Maybe you're here because somebody made you be here this morning. Why are you here? I don't know. Maybe one of those reasons. But I'll tell you what. You're here because God wanted you here. There's not a person here that God didn't want here. Every single person here is because God wanted you here this morning. And because you're here, he's putting in your heart right now the same desire that he put in Zacchaeus. I want to see Jesus. Hey, you came to church this morning. Why don't you see Jesus? You're going to be here for the next 15 minutes or so. So why don't you see Jesus? Don't waste this opportunity. Listen to that desire that God is putting in every heart. The Bible says, unless he woos us to himself, we will not come. Unless he draws us to himself, we will not come. And the fact that you're in God's house this morning, under the word of God, again, I don't care why you came. I don't care if somebody made you come this morning. You're here, and God is putting a desire in your heart right now to want to see Jesus. Zacchaeus says, I'm going to go see him. Of course, the Bible tells us he was the song says he was a wee little man. He was a short of stature. And wherever Jesus went, there was always a crowd. And for Zacchaeus to see Jesus, he had to have a front row seat. Now, there was no respectable Jew that was going to give Zacchaeus a front row seat. They were going to push him to the back. You don't deserve to see Christ. You're a traitor. You're a cheat. You stay at the back of the crowd. Nobody would give Zacchaeus any room in the front. So he said, I know what I'll do. I'll run ahead. I think Jesus is going this way. I know where there's a big sycamore tree. I'm going to go up and I'm going to climb up that sycamore tree, and I'm going to see Jesus. There are a lot of people here this morning that have done the same thing. You want to see Jesus, so you climbed up on something. You climbed up on your good works and said, boy, if I could do good things, then I'll get to see Jesus. Or you climbed up on your baptism and said, hey, I got baptized so I could see Jesus. Or you climbed up on your church membership and you said, hey, if I'm up on my church membership, I can see Jesus. Or you climbed up on your heritage and say, hey, my mom and dad were Christians. My grandpa and grandma are Christians. I'm going to climb up on my heritage and I'm going to see Jesus. Just like in the book of Genesis, when the people built the Tower of Babel, they said, God's never going to destroy the world with a flood again, but we're going to build a tower that will reach into heaven so that we can see God. And there are many people in this room this morning, just like Zacchaeus. You've climbed up on something thinking that you can get closer to God and closer to Jesus. And I want to tell you something this morning. Whatever you've climbed up on to see Christ is like the Tower of Babel. In the end, it will be destroyed. In the end, it will get you no closer to God. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me." So here he is, this short little man named Zacchaeus, up in this sycamore tree, waiting for Jesus to come. And I like this story. Jesus comes. He walks down the very road that tree is on. He comes to the very spot where that tree is growing, and he looks up in that tree, and he says, "Zacchaeus, come on down, because I'm going to go abide with you today." He invited himself to lunch. He said, "Zacchaeus, come on down, because I'm going to go home with you today." I want to tell you something this morning. We have a Savior that has not changed. The same Savior that stood at the base of that sycamore tree and looked up toward heaven and saw that short, little, wicked, despicable tax collector. And he said, "Zacchaeus, come on down," comes to every single person that's here this morning that doesn't know Jesus Christ. And he calls you by name and he says, "Hey, come on down off of your religion. Come on down off of your church membership. Come on down off of your heritage, because I want to abide with you." In the book of Revelation, chapter 3, the Bible, Jesus said this, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me." Just like Brother Wendell sang a moment ago in that song, it was implied, God knows exactly where you are. And I'm not talking about geographically this morning. I'm talking about he knows exactly where you are in your life. He knows exactly where you are in your relationship with him. And whatever you're up on top of this morning, depending on to get you closer to God, Jesus comes to the very base of it. And he says, "Look, come on down. Come on down. I want to abide with you. I want to make you part of that family of God. I want you to know me. Come on down." Now, that's my introduction. I'm getting to my sermon right now. I got 3 points, and I know you're saying, "Oh, it's 5 to 12. How long are we going to be here?" Another 6 or 7 minutes. I'll be done preaching. And then I can't guarantee how long the invitation will last. That's God's business. But I'll be done preaching in 6 or 7 minutes. My message this morning is to encourage you to do the same thing that Zacchaeus did. When Jesus looked up that tree and said, "Zacchaeus, come down, because I want to go abide with you today." Verse 6, here's what Zacchaeus did. And he made haste. He made haste. I don't know how fast he went up that tree, but I know how fast he came down. He came down in a hurry. It might have taken him a long time to climb up those branches, but I'll tell you what, the trip down was a whole lot faster than the trip up. And that's the same thing I encourage you to do today. Jesus stands at the base of whatever you're up on, and he says, and he calls you by name. He calls you by name. And he says, "Come on down. I want you to get to know me. I want to abide with you." And you need to do the same thing that Zacchaeus did. You need to come down in a hurry. You need to come down with haste. The Bible says today is the day of salvation. Now is the accepted time. You need to not put it off. You know, you want to know who the great putter offer is? You want to know who the one that will tell you this morning, "Oh, you got time, you can do it later"? It's Satan. Satan will come this morning to those that are here without Jesus Christ and said, "Hey, listen, you got plenty of time. You can do it tomorrow. You can do it in December. Hey, you can wait till next year. Next year's almost here." And Satan will try to convince you that you have plenty of time to get to know Christ. I want to tell you something. The only time that you have is now. You're not guaranteed tomorrow. You're not guaranteed next month. You're not guaranteed next year. The Bible says that when Jesus comes back, he'll come back as a thief in the night. And these people that say, well, this and this has got to happen before Jesus comes back, don't listen to them. They don't know what they're talking about. I believe everything that needs to happen before Jesus comes back has already happened. He could come back at any moment. You may not get to sit in another service. You may not get to hear another sermon. You may not get to have another invitation. This may be the last chance that you have to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And I know there are people who say, oh, preacher, you ought not to try to scare us like that. I'd rather scare you into heaven than be responsible for you going to hell because I wasn't urgent enough about you receiving Christ. Make haste. Make haste. Come down quickly. I want you to notice what the second thing that Zacchaeus did. It was just that. He came down. Before he could meet Christ, before he could receive him as his Savior, he had to get down out of that sycamore tree. And before you can get saved this morning, before you can get into heaven, before you can have that relationship with God, you got to get off all those things that you've climbed upon. It is not Jesus and good works. Now, when you get saved, he wants you to do good works, for we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. When we get saved, he wants us to do good works. But your salvation is not Jesus and good works. It is just Jesus. Your salvation is not Jesus and getting baptized. When you get saved, you ought to get baptized. That's the way we confess him to before men. We're going to talk about that tonight. But that's the way we confess him before men. But your salvation, listen to me, does not depend on your baptism. The thief on the cross is in heaven this morning, and he never went into the baptismal tank. And don't depend on Jesus and baptism to get you to heaven. You depend just on Jesus. It's not joining the church and Jesus. It's not communion and Jesus. It is just Jesus. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He said, no man cometh to the Father but by me. And until you get down from all those things that you are depending on to make you right with God, you'll never get to know him. You'll never get to know him. So he made haste. He came down. And then it says, and received him joyfully. Joyfully. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Will you do that this morning? You're a sinner, just like all of us are. In God's sight, we're despicable. In God's sight, there is nothing worthy in us that would deserve his love, his grace, and his mercy. And I'm glad the Bible says in Romans 5, verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He didn't wait till we cleaned up our act. He didn't wait till we turned over a new leaf. While we were sinners, Christ died for us. And the Bible says that if you'll receive him, if you'll come down off of all those things that you've climbed up on to get closer to God and receive him, he'll make you part of that family that Brother Wendell sang about a few minutes ago, the family of God. Would you do that this morning? I know many people here are saved, but I got to believe there's some people here this morning that have never done what I'm talking about. You've never asked Jesus to be your Savior. This morning, I encourage you to do that. Because that verse in 1 Corinthians is true. Today is the day of salvation. It's not tomorrow. It's not the next day. It's not next month. It's not next year. It's today. It's today. You see, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. To be separated from God forever in that place called hell. You're only going to go one of two places when you die. And by the way, when you die, you're not going to cease to exist. There's a part of you that's going to live forever. And so you're going to live in one of two places. It's going to live in heaven, where God is, or it's going to live in hell, where God ain't. And by the way, I've said it before, I'll say it again. The worst part of hell is not the fire. The worst part of hell is not the darkness. The worst part of hell is not the bottomless pit. The worst part of hell is the fact that God is not there. You get to choose heaven or hell, and you make that choice as you choose Jesus or choose not to receive him. What are you going to do this morning? Would you receive him? Don't put it off. Don't let Satan talk you out of doing what you know you should do, and that's receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the simplicity of the gospel.